We come at last to this feast, this great day of Pentecost. And really, if you think about it, there really is no church without this day, without this Holy Spirit coming into the church. We don't have a church. This indwelling is necessary. It's necessary for our lives, necessary for us to follow God's plan. Without the Holy Spirit coming into us and dwelling in us, we really are just spinning our wheels, trying to do our own little thing. You might think about the construction of a large structure, whether it's a house, a commercial building, or perhaps even a church. What goes into that? So, you know, if you or I were to say, you know, I'd really like to build this thing, we could study and look, we could try to figure out what does it take, what kind of materials do I need, what are the things that I do to build this thing. We could look at it that way. We could try to start doing it ourselves. And in a sense, when we read Scripture, when we read the Catechism, when we learn the teachings of the Church, when we do that, those things without really having this indwelling of the Spirit, even if we go to Mass and we receive the sacraments, without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we're not really going to get anywhere. And further, if you go back to the analogy, if we are building this house or this structure, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to waste our time, our energy, probably waste materials. We really only have so long in this life. So we don't want to spend a lot of time building a structure that's going to collapse or building a structure that's not going to really do what it's meant to do. So we need this indwelling. We need this indwelling of the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. And we need to ask for that. You know, the readings that we read today, those precursors to the Spirit, help us to thirst for this Holy Spirit. I want to be filled. I want to have the Holy Spirit in my life. Do we have that desire? Do we have that openness in our hearts to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, now consider back to this analogy, back to this thought of if I were to build something, if I had a master builder who came along and said, I can help you. If I had somebody who came along and said, I got a team of skilled laborers who can help you. We know how to do this. Wouldn't you be like, yeah, let's do that. Instead of me sitting here piecing bricks together, I don't know. This seems like a much better idea. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He indwells in us. He comes into us and allows us to tap into this greater mystery, this greater understanding, this greater plan of what we're called to do, what we're called to live. This indwelling comes to us in baptism. We receive the capacity for the indwelling at that time in our lives. Throughout our life, as we continue receiving sacraments, growing in the life of the Spirit, we increase that capacity for God's indwelling, and we increase that ability for God to work in us and through us. So this is an ongoing work. And in fact, the more we work alongside and cooperate with the grace that God gives to us, the more we can do, the more God can do in our lives. However, there is a way that we can nullify this work of God in our lives. Sin opposes God's work. If it opposes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If we freely choose sin, whether it's mortal or venial sin, it will affect our ability to live the life of the Spirit. We know that mortal sin drives out the Spirit. We can't have both God in our own hearts and it as well having this presence of sin in our own hearts, in our souls. And we know that grave sin is something that's grave matter. We freely choose it and we have full knowledge of it. So if we do those kinds of things in our lives, we're going to chase out, we're going to not allow that Holy Spirit to stay in us or dwell in us. That thwarts the life of grace. So I think sometimes we don't realize that, or maybe we don't really think about that, and we kind of try to do both, right? We see that in our world around us. They want certain things, and yet we do the exact opposite, or we allow things to enter into our lives that are going to not allow us to do the things that we want to do. When we oppose God's direct will in our lives, that indwelling no longer can be present in our souls. Faith and hope can remain, right? So if we sin big, charity leaves, divine indwelling leaves, it can't be there, but we can still have faith. I still know God is my Lord. I still have knowledge of God's will. I still have hope for eternal life. And those are the things that lead us back. Right? They lead us back to reconciliation, to be restored, to invite once again that Holy Spirit to come to us. And we do that by sacramental reconciliation, by going to confession. And I think this is one of the reasons why we often see this sort of back and forth. Many people say, I can go to church, I do all these things, and yet I don't see a lot of progress. Okay, well, are you allowing that indwelling to stay? Are you staying in the state of grace, we call it, when we're not in mortal sin, we are staying in that state of grace. When we invite the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us. When we make a good confession, we're reconciled to God, and that supernatural charity returns to our soul, the indwelling returns to our soul, and we can go on with our lives in that work of asking God to guide us. So the longer, if we stay in the state of grace, the more we're working with God. On the other hand, if we let sin into our lives, and we remain in that state of sin, the easier it is for us to do wrong, and the harder it is for us to do good, or what is right. And the longer we stay in that place of sin, the more our conscience is dull. That voice that tells us right and wrong is dull to know those things, and to inform us. And we don't have that open ear to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. I think this is why we see so many people struggling to grow closer to God. You know, it's like if you're a farmer and you plant some seeds and you want them to grow, right? You put them in the soil. But if you have poison or toxic waste in that soil, those seeds have no chance, right? You put them in there, no matter how many times you plant seeds, they're not going to grow because they don't have the environment that they need to grow. Likewise, if we have sin in our souls, serious sin, we're blocking that capacity for God's grace to be there. So we need to be aware of that. And if we sin, and we have that habitual practice of sin or unrepentant sin, then we really can't receive that indwelling. We need to be reconciled before and allow the Holy Spirit to come back into our lives. Now, life in the Spirit requires this, right? That we have this place, kind of like a nest, if you will, for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell there. So we do that by living the life of the sacraments, going to Mass, the life of prayer. All these things are good. Sometimes I think we get a little confused about what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have that indwelling. Does it mean that I have, I speak in tongues all the time? I have this sort of charismatic way of outwardly praising God or doing certain things? Maybe, right? Those are gifts of the Spirit. But all that it means to have an indwelling is to say that God is present in me. I have the presence of God in me. And it means that I have this capacity for God to speak to me in my soul, in my heart. I talk often about the promptings of the Holy Spirit. What does that even mean, Father? What is the prompting of the Holy Spirit? Okay, let's talk a little bit about that. It simply means that a person, God, is speaking to us. He's communicating to us something in our hearts. I would say it's a little bit like tuning into the radio, right? You can have a radio, you can have it sitting there. If you don't tune in, it doesn't do any good, right? So we need to tune in. We need to find the signal and listen in to what the Holy Spirit tells us. And the more we get good at that, the more we can kind of tune in and get the message. You know, sometimes we're not very good. You know, these days, all you got to do is push seek, right? It goes to the next channel. But back in the day, you had a little dial, and you had to kind of like, got the other channel, it's mixed, and it's not very good signal, and this is not working. So it's kind of like that. It's more like that. It's not so much digital, but more analog. So this idea that I need to practice this, I need to work at it, it's a little challenging at times. And sometimes I'm going to get a mixed signal. I'm going to think, I think I got it. And really, I don't got it. So one of the ways that we can kind of be protected against these false signals or the static or the wrong signals that come in is to have obedience, right? Obedience to whoever our superior is. So for you guys, unfortunately, it's me. Or maybe you're from another parish. God bless you, right? Freedom. For me, it's the obedience to my bishop. All of us are in obedience to Christ and His church, right? So we're all called to that. So that gives us freedom, so that when we can kind of look at the signal and say, this is what I'm hearing, does it compare with what the church teaches or with what God is telling me? No. Well, then it's not from the Holy Spirit, right? It's not from the Holy Spirit if it goes contrary to what the church teaches or what the church asks of us. But we can affirm that if it goes along with it, okay, maybe this is what I'm asking. Or you can go to your spiritual director. You can go and talk to your friends who are also enlightened by the Spirit. And you can say, this is what I'm thinking. What do you guys think? Does that seem like a good thing? So we can work with the Spirit and allow the Spirit to speak to us. And the more we do that, the better we get at kind of reading that and interpreting that and coming to understand that. And the church gives us boundaries, right? That's what the teachings, that's what the superiors or the obedience is there for, to help us, protect us from kind of going off on our own little channel, our own little path. It allows us to kind of stay focused. So it's really, really important that we seek to have this indwelling. If we don't have that, we need to make a good confession. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to come and live and dwell in us. We need to pray, inviting the Lord to guide us. If we don't have this Holy Spirit, if we don't have this indwelling, then we're kind of just off our own spot, and we don't really have the guidance that we need to live the life of grace and to be on the path towards salvation. So let's just be clear. Just because we have the indwelling, again, doesn't mean we're always going to get the signal perfectly. We're going to perfectly understand. It doesn't mean everything's going to fall into place easily or the way we want it. It just means that we'll be in tune with God. God will be able to speak to us when we need to hear that message or hear that prompting or accept this hard thing that's coming to us in our lives or in our prayers. So let's ask the Holy Spirit. He wants to work through us. He wants to live in us. Do we want Him to live in us? Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth.